Anyone who has ever lived with me knows that I have a thing about overhead lighting. They've seen the way I flinch when they innocently hit a switch that I have trained myself never, ever to touch. Like I'm a vampire afraid of being burned alive by a sunbeam. It's not that I don't like light. It's just that it has to be the right kind of light. I like a lamp that gently brightens the corners of the room, maybe filtered by a gauzy curtain. I'm always going for a soft, romantic lighting situation. I've been thinking a lot about light lately. As the days get shorter and the darkness descends earlier each afternoon. It's Advent again. This is the time when we wait for the light to come back into the world. Every year, it's the same thing. We wait in darkness, in stillness, in quiet, hoping that things will get better when the light returns. Whether we're thinking of a baby being born in a manger 2,000 years ago, bringing the good news of God's great love for us, or we're thinking of the Earth's axis beginning to tilt back toward the sun, gradually lengthening the days, we wait. We wait for the light. But if we're children of the light, as it says in the scripture, why do we have to do this every year? Why can't we live in the light all the time? A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to Amy Poehler's Good Hang podcast. She had Ina Garten on, and Ina shared a quote that kind of lit me up. Go as far as you can see. She couldn't remember the origin of the quote, so I looked it up. It was either Scottish writer Thomas Carlyle, finance bro J.P. Morgan, or motivational speaker Zig Ziglar. But I heard Ina say it, so I'm giving her the credit. Go as far as you can see. Ina explained that in her life, she's found that mapping a course from point A, where you are now, to point B, your ultimate goal, can really limit you. Instead, she recommends mapping your course only as far as you can see. When you get there, she said, there may be other options you wouldn't have even thought of. She likes to leave herself open to the possibility that when she can see further, she might change her mind about where she wants to go. That reminded me of something I read years ago, a quote from the novelist E.L. Doctorow. It's become sort of a guiding light for me as a writer. He said, writing is like driving at night in the fog. You can only see as far as your headlights, but you can make the whole trip that way. I cannot begin to tell you the number of times I've thought I knew exactly where I was going, only to change my mind down the road. I make a lot of big plans in the dark, and then something happens that I didn't expect, and I have to change course. Or more often, I get pushed off course, forced to change my plan. A switch gets flipped, and I can see more clearly. Objects I didn't know were there are suddenly illuminated, and a different path opens up. Sometimes it takes a while before I can see it. I have to wait. I have to be patient. Because when that clarifying light comes, it's almost never an overhead light. It's not a floodlight. Usually it's a lamp. Maybe it's a spotlight. Maybe a flashlight, maybe a very dim headlight in the fog. But it's enough. Sometimes it doesn't feel like enough, and that's when I have to remind myself, I don't even like overhead lighting. It's too stark, too bright, too much. Somehow thinking about Advent as a time when another lamp gets turned on has been comforting to me this year. It's not, here we are in darkness again, waiting for the light of Christ again. It's, here we are in a dark corner where the light hasn't reached yet. Every year, if we're lucky enough to still be around for it, more light comes. Probably not an overhead light. Maybe a candle. Maybe a lantern. Maybe a flash of lightning. Something. But for right now, it's all we need.